So I want you to imagine for a second if you could literally see sound. And I don't mean, just a squiggly line on a computer screen or a graph.
Right, something tangible.
Exactly. Imagine seeing it as perfect, mesmerizing, living geometry. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Yeah.
Today we're actually picking up right where we left off in our last discussion about trioral sound, but we are taking a massive leap forward.
It is quite the leap, yeah, because we're moving from just how we hear this specialized sound to how we can actually see it. And I mean, more importantly, how it physically alters the material world around us.
Yeah, because sound isn't just noise. So today's mission is to explore the visual and physical manifestation of this trioral sound
Right.
through a fascinating field of study called cymatics.
Yes, cymatics.
And to do this, we've got an incredible stack of sources. The centerpiece is this stunning visual sequence. They call it the trioral collage.
Incredible footage.
It really is. It captures a three-pronged tuning fork hitting the surface of a dark liquid in extreme slow motion. And we're pairing that visual evidence with three really comprehensive AI analyses that break down the physical, biological, and even the metaphysical impacts of what's happening.
Which is a lot to cover. But to really grasp the gravity of this, we have to set the stage. We need to look closely at the actual physical instrument being used in this core experiment.
The tuning fork itself.
Right. And this is not your standard, Y-shaped, two-pronged tuning fork that you might see in a music room.
Sure.
This is a custom trioral tuning fork. It has three prongs, and they are spaced exactly 120 degrees apart in a perfect circle.
And the material really matters here, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the sources specifically note it's crafted from an LC7MG alloy. And for you listening, that's just a highly specific blend of aluminum, silicon, and magnesium. But why go through the trouble of using that exact blend? Why not just use like standard steel?
Well, it really comes down to acoustic stability and rigidity. When you're trying to generate a flawless, perfectly mathematical wave, any tiny microflex, any warping in the metal, it's going to distort the frequency.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that specific alloy is incredibly light, but rigidly stable. It ensures that when it vibrates at its target frequency, which in this experiment is exactly 883 hertz, the sound wave is utterly pristine.
Okay, wait, let me make sure I'm visualizing this whole setup correctly. We have this specialized three-pronged metal instrument, and it's vibrating 883 times per second.
Exactly.
And then the experimenters mechanically lower it until the three tips just barely break the surface tension of this dark liquid.
Just barely touching it, yeah.
Right. And they're filling this entire impact at 240 frames per second,
Yeah.
which stretches out just a tiny fraction of a second into this long, super detailed visual sequence. So what exactly is happening when that vibrating metal hits the water?
Well, when you watch the sequence, the moment the three prongs touch the liquid, it does not just make a messy splash.
Nose clay.
No, instead, it instantly creates a highly complex, three-dimensional holographic interference pattern.
Wow.
You are quite literally watching sound turn into a dynamic, living sculpture. Physicists call these initial ripples Faraday waves.
Faraday waves.
Right. Think of dropping a pebble into a still pond. You know how you get those perfect concentric circles rippling outward?
Yeah, of course.
In this case, you have three distinct pebbles hitting at the exact same millisecond, creating three sets of perfectly uniform circular waves.
But because the prongs are so close together, those three sets of circular ripples have to crash into each other almost instantly.
They do. But because they are vibrating at the exact same frequency, they don't just create random choppy waves. When they intersect, they perfectly overlap.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, where the peaks of the waves meet, they amplify each other. That's constructive interference. And where a peak meets a trough, they cancel each other out.
Destructive interference.
Exactly. And this collision forms what are known as Chladni figures.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, because the visual in that trioral collage is just stunning. The water is basically finding the quiet spots in the vibration and settling there, which forms these incredible geometric lines.
To make that easy to picture, we can actually look back at Ernst Chladni himself. He's an 18th century physicist that our sources highlight.
Oh, the guy with the sand and the metal plates.
That's the one. He originally discovered this by taking a flat brass plate, covering it in fine sand, and then he dragged a violin bow along the edge of the plate,
All right.
and the vibration would cause the sand to literally bounce off the vibrating areas and gather in the nodal lines. The areas of zero movement.
The quiet zones.
Yes. The water in our trioral experiment is doing the exact same thing. The molecules are gathering in the quiet zones.
But in the video collage, it's not just like one static shape. It's a dynamic progression.
Very dynamic.
Like, in the first few milliseconds, you see the water lock into these perfectly symmetrical hexagons. And then, as the energy continues to just pump into the liquid, those hexagons morph. They splinter into these incredibly complex, recursive fractals.
It's beautiful to watch.
It really is. And the AI analyses and our sources point out that these visual structures deeply resemble the Mandelbrot set. You know, those endless, trippy mathematical shapes that look like an infinite coastline zooming in forever.
Right, those endless fractals. And this is where the pure physics of it gets so elegant, because the AI analyses note that these shifting patterns are strictly governed by Bessel functions.
Bessel functions.
Yeah. If you want to understand a Bessel function, just think about the math that describes the skin of a drum vibrating after you strike it. The wave ripples out, hits the edge, and bounces back. It creates these complex standing waves.
Okay, so the water is acting like the skin of a drum, and the sound is the drumstick.
Exactly.
But here is the thing that really stands out to me. If I use a normal two-prong tuning fork, I don't get intricate shifting Mandelbrot fractals, do I?
No, you do not. And what's fascinating here is that this is the crux of the entire experiment. A traditional two-prong tuning fork creates a linear dipole wave.
Meaning?
It's essentially just a flat push and pull of energy. But the triad design, that 120-degree separation, it forces the sound waves to do something totally different. It creates a toroidal effect.
Okay, a toroidal effect. I've heard the word torus described as like a 3D donut, but that feels a little too static for what we're talking about here. How does a donut of sound organize water into fractals?
Well, think of it less like a solid donut and more like blowing a smoke ring.
Okay.
A smoke ring isn't just a floating circle, right? The smoke is constantly rolling inward on itself. It is a swirling, self-sustaining loop of energy.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and that is what this 120-degree tuning fork is doing to the acoustic energy in the water. It creates a swirling 3D vortex that folds in on itself. And that constant rolling toroidal vortex is what stabilizes the geometry.
So it's basically building a temporary architectural structure out of water.
Perfectly said.
Yeah.
It acts like an invisible energetic scaffolding that allows these incredibly intricate mathematical shapes to hold their form in a liquid medium.
That is just wild. Okay, so the math totally checks out. We have a toroidal vortex holding a Bessel function in place. But I want to zoom out from the physics lab for a second.
Sure.
Why do these specific shapes matter? Like, why does an 883 hertz frequency default to hexagons and fractals, of all things?
Because we are literally looking at the fundamental language of the natural world.
Okay, how so?
When we see the hexagons created by that trioral fork, we are seeing the exact same geometry that nature uses for maximum stability and spatial efficiency. A hexagon allows things to pack together tightly without wasting any space or energy.
Right, which is why we see it everywhere in nature. It's a beehive's honeycomb. It's the crystalline structure of a snowflake.
Exactly.
Or even those massive hexagonal basalt columns found at the Giant's Causeway.
Precisely. And the fractal grids that emerge right after the hexagons, those mirror the exact mathematical branching that nature uses to optimize growth and distribution.
Like plant life.
Like plant life. It is the identical geometry found in the veins of a leaf or the delta of a river or even the vascular system inside your own body.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here just for a second.
Go for it.
Humans are pattern-seeking machines, right? We look at clouds and we see faces. We look at random stars and we see hunters and bears.
Pareidolia.
Exactly, pareidolia. So this raises an important question for you, the listener. Are we just projecting meaning onto pretty shapes in the water? Is this trioral geometry actually revealing the hidden scaffolding of nature? Or is it just a neat physics parlor trick?
Well, it is entirely healthy to be skeptical of seeing patterns where none exist. However, the physics of cymatics proves that the geometry is implicit in the wave field itself.
Meaning the shape is already there.
Right. And this is what Hans Jenny, the 20th century researcher who actually coined the term cymatics, spent his entire life proving. He used oscillators to vibrate sand, water, and glycerin. And he showed that the hexagon doesn't exist because the water magically decided to make a hexagon.
Right, the water is just water.
Exactly. The hexagonal structure is mathematically encoded within the 883 hertz vibration before it ever touches the surface.
Wow.
The water is simply a blank canvas. It is just the medium making the invisible blueprint visible. The scaffolding is very real, and it is made of sound.
Okay, so if a specific frequency can instantly organize the surface of water into perfect geometric mandalas, What happens to the internal structure of the water itself? Does the inside of the liquid actually change?
This is exactly where we cross the bridge from surface physics into molecular chemistry. The sources introduce a concept called frequency imprinting.
Frequency imprinting.
Yeah. When you apply a highly coherent acoustic field to water, especially with that rolling coroidal smoke ring vortex we just talked about, you are doing much more than just pushing water around.
Yeah.
You are fundamentally restructuring the molecular clusters.
Restructuring how? Like changing the H2O?
Not changing the chemical formula, no, but changing the bonds. Water molecules naturally clump together using hydrogen bonds. In normal tap water, those clusters are chaotic and just randomly sized.
That's a jumbled mess.
Exactly. But under the influence of this specific trioral frequency, the hydrogen bonds begin to align with the acoustic nodes. They organize into tight, highly stable hexagonal grids at the microscopic level.
Now, our sources bring up Masaru Emoto here, and I feel like I need to push back hard on this. Emoto is famous for freezing water and photographing the crystals, right? Claiming that playing Mozart made beautiful silver snowflakes and playing heavy metal made ugly deformed blobs.
Right, his water crystal experiments.
But his work has been widely criticized by the scientific community for massive confirmation bias. Essentially, he had his team cherry-pick the prettiest ice crystals to photograph and just ignored the ugly ones.
That's true.
So if his work is so highly disputed, why are these AI analyses using it as a foundational source?
That is a very important distinction to make. You are absolutely right that Emoto's methodology was flawed and, frankly, highly romanticized. However, the AI analyses aren't validating Emoto's spiritual claims.
Okay.
They're pointing out that his core premise, that frequency alters the crystalline structure of water, is actually validated by modern strict cymatic physics.
Oh, I see.
We don't need to freeze water and cherry-pick crystals anymore. We can literally measure the hydrogen bond angles changing in real time under a 240 frames per second camera.
So if we strip away the mysticism from it, the physical reality is that the form of the vibration determines the structural state of the water.
Exactly. And this brings us to a crucial concept in the sources, the idea of living water or revitalized water.
Okay, let's definitely define that. Because living water sounds like a marketing buzzword you'd see on a $12 bottle of water at a fancy health food store.
It really does.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If regular tap water, which, you know, has been pumped through miles of right-angle metal pipes and blasted with chemical treatments, if that water is like a scrambled, static-filled radio signal.
Yes.
Is this trioral tuning fork acting like a formatting tool? Like, is it burning a high-resolution, organized, geometric symphony right into the water's molecular memory?
That is the perfect way to visualize it. The static-filled tap water is physically unstructured. Its hydrogen bonds are a mess. The trioral vibration formats it.
Formats it back to its natural state.
Right. The physical action of that 3D toroidal swirling deeply oxygenates the liquid, while the acoustic frequency forces the chaotic molecular clusters into a highly coherent, stable state.
Wow.
That is the scientific essence of revitalized water. It has regained the energetic, crystalline structure it naturally holds in undisturbed environments like a mountain spring.
And what blows my mind is that this isn't just about making the water structural or pretty. The sources note actual hardcore practical applications for this, like using these cymatic patterns for water purification.
Yes, absolutely. Through a mechanism called ecological selection.
Ecological selection.
Yeah, the AI analyses describe how specific frequencies can be tuned to act as ultrasound traps.
Okay, wait. How does a sound wave trap and clean a microbe?
Well, remember those nodal lines we talked about earlier? The quiet spots where the geometry forms?
Yeah, where the sand gathered?
Exactly. Between those quiet spots are walls of intense acoustic pressure. Because every organism has a different physical density and a different resonant frequency, you can theoretically tune a sound wave in a tank of water to perfectly disrupt the cellular membranes of harmful pathogens.
You're kidding.
No. The microscopic walls of high acoustic pressure literally tear the delicate membranes of the bad microbes apart through mechanical stress. But the beneficial bacteria, which have totally different structural densities, are entirely unaffected. They survive.
That is amazing.
It is a way of cleansing water purely through the application of mathematical geometry.
Cleansing water with an acoustic scalpel? Just wild. But I want to bring this whole phenomenon out of the water tank now and connect it directly to you, the listener.
Okay, let's do it.
Because the human body is roughly 60 to 70% water. So if these sound waves are organizing water into living hexagonal structures in a lab, How does that impact our own internal biology?
To understand the biological impact, we have to look at a cellular mechanism called mechanotransduction.
Mechanotransduction.
Yes. We often think of our cells as just, you know, squishy bags of chemicals, but they are actually highly complex physical architectures that respond directly to mechanical pressure.
Right.
When a somatic vibration travels through the water in your body, it creates those localized high-pressure nodes right up against your cells.
So what does this all mean for you? It means the water inside your cells isn't just a passive liquid. It's a highly sensitive acoustic receiver. So instead of thinking of a cell as a chemical reaction, we should think of it as a physical object reacting to force.
Exactly.
Almost like a singer hitting that perfect high note to shatter a wine glass, but on a microscopic beneficial scale.
That is a brilliant analogy. Mm. But instead of shattering the cell, the acoustic pressure is tuned to be just strong enough to gently massage the cell membrane.
A microscopic massage.
Basically, yeah. This gentle rhythmic pressure physically activates and opens ion channels in the membrane. It literally flexes the pores open, allowing vital nutrients to flow into the cell and toxic waste to flow out much more efficiently.
And the sources mentioned this mechanical massage goes even deeper than just the outer membrane. It can actually stimulate the mitochondria.
Right, the mitochondria being the powerhouses of the cell. Mechanotransduction can physically squeeze and stimulate the mitochondria, increasing cellular energy production purely through mechanical vibration, completely independent of whatever food you've eaten.
Okay, that is fascinating. But the AI analysis take it one step further, and this is where I really had an aha moment. They claim this acoustic resonance goes all the way down to our DNA.
Yes, they do.
The sources reference the theories of a researcher named Peter Gariev. He proposed something called wave genetics.
Right.
Which is this idea that sound waves can actually influence the physical structure of DNA.
Gariev's work is incredibly provocative. To understand wave genetics, you have to remember what DNA actually looks like. It is a spiral. It is a physical, tightly coiled double helix.
The classic ladder shape, twisted up.
Yeah. And because it is a physical spring-like object, it naturally has its own resonant frequencies. Just like a guitar string has a frequency it naturally wants to vibrate at.
So if you play the right note, the guitar string hums on its own.
Exactly. And the analyses of our sources point out that tuning acoustic vibrations to the specific resonant frequencies of DNA might physically aid its function. For example, they mentioned the 528 hertz frequency.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. In alternative circles, it's often referred to as a Heeler frequency. From a pure physics standpoint, if that vibration matches the resonance of the DNA coil, the sound wave literally helps the tightly wound spring of DNA unspool and open up.
Which is completely necessary for the body to fix itself. Like, proteins can't copy or repair a damaged DNA strand if it's too tightly knotted up.
Exactly.
So the sound is providing the mechanical assist to unspool the thread.
Precisely. And the implications of this organized water go even further into something called biophotonic communication.
Biophotons, meaning light inside the body.
Yes, exactly. Biophotons are ultra-weak particles of light that our cells emit to communicate with one another. It is essentially an optical communication network inside your tissue.
Wow.
Now, if the water inside your body is chaotic and unstructured, that light scatters. It's like trying to shine a flashlight through thick fog.
But if the trial sound has restructured the water in your cells into those perfect crystalline hexagonal grids,
then the water acts like a fiber optic cable. The geometry provides a clear, structured medium for these biophotons to travel through.
That's incredible.
It really is. The light bounces perfectly along the hexagonal grid, allowing your cells to talk to each other with incredibly high fidelity. It synchronizes bodily systems far faster than chemical hormones ever could.
This is a massive paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It means the water inside your cells is not just a passive liquid just sloshing around in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It is a highly sensitive acoustic receiver and a fiber optic network.
Yes.
It is constantly listening to and being shaped by the vibrations of your environment.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of what we've unpacked today, what we are really analyzing in this trioral collage is a magnificent cascade of resonance. We start with a simple mechanical pulse from a specialized tuning fork. The 120-degree symmetry generates a toroidal vortex, a mathematical wave.
And that wave visually bursts into a perfect hexagon and Mandelbrot fractals on the water surface.
Yes. And beneath the surface, that same energy is restructuring the hydrogen bonds to create revitalized living water. And finally, when that structured water is inside a biological system, it translates that exact acoustic geometry into cellular energy, It opens ion channels, routes biophotons, and mechanically unspools our genetic code for repair. It is a single, unbroken chain of geometry moving from sound to water to life.
What an incredible journey. We started today by trying to literally see sound. And what we've discovered is that sound is not merely an auditory experience. It's not just a song you hear on the radio or the noise of the wind.
Far from it.
It is a profound physical force that shapes matter. It reorganizes chaotic water into living, breathing geometry, and it resonates with the very DNA coiled inside our cells. The triaural tuning fork isn't just making pretty ripples in a dark liquid. It is temporarily revealing the hidden architectural blueprint of reality itself.
It serves as a really powerful reminder that we are inextricably linked to the vibrational environment around us. Because we are made mostly of water, we are quite literally shaped by the physical forces of the sounds we inhabit.
Which leaves us with a pretty massive and honestly slightly unsettling thought to take away. If a precisely tuned 120-degree frequency can instantly restructure water into beautiful, life-enhancing geometric mandalas, what is the chaotic, invisible symphony of our modern environment doing to you? The constant dissonant hum of traffic outside your window, the buzzing of Wi-Fi routers, the grinding of heavy machinery, what is that chaotic noise doing to the living water inside your cells right this very second? Until next time, keep diving deep.